Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God who is love. Praise God who is love. Praise God who is love. Father, thank you for allowing me to connect with my listening audience. Thank you that as I pray and speak, I am not interrupted by any satanic or demonic force. Holy Spirit, have your way with my thoughts. And I thank you for speaking through my vocal cords and thinking through my mind. Let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, welcome, and thank you for listening in to today's episode of Continuous Prayer is Power to Heal. I am Reverend Diane Hobson, your host for today, and Senior Pastor of Global Exchange Christian Church, as well as President and Founder of Global Exchange Christian University. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. That's Romans, we're going to the New Testament, which begins with the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and you will run right into Romans. After Romans, we will go straight to 1 John 1, 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and last but not least, Matthew 6, 33. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Verse 9 reads, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are our scriptures that we open with to make sure that persons who are listening, if you read those with us, if you're not born again, you are a born-again Christian. And we thank you for becoming a born-again Christian. And if that is you and this is your first time, please send us an email at gechristianchurch@gmail.com. And we will send you some information to help you get started. If you don't have a Bible, we'll be happy to send you a Bible as well. Okay? Our last scripture is Matthew 6, 33. Go back to the beginning book of the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew. Turn to chapter 6, and we will read verse 33. Usually we read it twice. And Matthew chapter 6, 33 reads, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Second time is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now today we're going to be talking about this beautiful word called love. And why is that so important? It's important because we throw that word around so much and we wonder, do you really know the meaning of it? But before we get into that, let's do a health tip and a business tip. We like to do that when we have a segment during the week, and it's not on Sunday. Sundays we don't do business and health tips, but let's go right into a health tip for our listening audience. And we just want to make sure that we talked about this before, but we always want to make sure that you're doing exercise and you're not overdoing exercise. So there's a pro and a con in that area. We want you to balance exercising. You know, this is the first part of the year, and of course, I'm sure a lot of people last month in January made their New Year's resolution, I'm going to exercise more and I'm going to lose weight. Well, even if you don't need to lose weight, you still need to do some kind of exercise just to keep your body doing what it should do. Okay? So we're saying exercise at least 3 times a week. Do not go over an hour. So if you do a 30-minute exercise, you can even do a 20-minute exercise. Say, for instance, well, I don't have that kind of time, you can break it up, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. It's better to do it all at once, but if that's something you have to do, then go for it, okay? But if you can do exercising every time that's necessary, I mean, some people do it 5 days a week, I mean, that's fine. But if you do it at least 3 times a week, you will see weight come off your body, at least. If you do that, and then for at least 30 minutes, try not to go over an hour. And if you are under the doctor's care and you're listening to this program, please check with your doctor before you get involved in any strenuous exercising. We want you to be healthy. We don't want you to assume that, oh, yes, I can do this, I can run, I can do this. Make sure that you have clearance through your medical doctor that it's okay to do exercise, okay? And there are many different things you can do. You can do, I like to do praise and worship. If you're doing praise and worship every day, trust me, you will not become overweight. There's no way you can get overweight. When I say overweight, I mean tremendously overweight. You will not get to be 200 pounds. You will not get to be 300. You won't even go that way if you're doing. And you say, well, I don't know how to dance. All you're doing is just moving your body to the music. That's all you're doing is moving your body to the music. You can go side from side. 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right. So whatever the song is. Say, for instance, if you're listening to Yes, Jesus Loves Me, well, you just move 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right. And, you know, 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right. And, you know, you're moving your body, and you try to move, and that's just getting your leg muscles. You're moving your leg muscles if you're moving 3 or 4 steps to the left and then 3 or 4 steps to the right. And then you kind of see if you can move your hips while you're moving those steps. And that's all you need to do. And then you can do your arms the same way. Move your arms like you're moving your legs. And that's giving you some type of movement in your body to get that exercise going. So you don't have to be shake it up, shake it down. You don't have to do all that. But you can do something that will, you know, get you going. And then if you can lift your legs up, then lift your legs up. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Lift up your leg, lift down your leg. Lift up your leg, lift down your leg. And you can say those things. Just make it, you know, make it like a little game. And then you watch the clock. Like I said, if you're just starting out, don't try to do 30 minutes the first day. Maybe the first day you can do 5 minutes and work your way up to, you know, 30 minutes. If you're just starting to exercise, don't try to go, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to really get this down. And in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have 10 pounds. No. Okay? Don't go that route. Okay. Start off with 5 minutes or less. And work your way up to 30 minutes if this is something new to you and you haven't been exercising all the time. And if you do it long enough, you will see a difference. Now, if you can walk 1 mile or walk a couple of blocks, if you can do that 1 to 2 blocks, if you can walk 1 to 2 blocks, that's very good. You will lose weight very quickly, okay? So and I wouldn't encourage you to do it at night, and please don't walk by yourself. If you're not walking with a group, don't do it. Don't even do it. Go to a school where, you know, they have the indoor track. Go somewhere where they have an indoor track, and you can walk around, which is much more safer. Because a lot of people, I see them walking and running along the streets that are congested with cars and exhaust systems. That's not good for your breathing, nor your chest, nor your heart. And they don't know that. All they know is they're running and they're getting the weight off. Yes, you are, but you're also getting something inside of your body that you don't want. So try to run at a track that, because that usually is not congested. So you run, go to a track or go to a park, but don't do it by yourself. You say, well, why do you keep emphasizing this? Because there have been abductions, okay? You go in someplace and you go into a park, do not walk by yourself. Don't go to a park by yourself. There are abductions, okay? It should be 3, 4, 5 people. It's a lot harder to grab a hold of 3, 4, or 5 people than it is 1 or 2. You know, you say, well, I'm running with someone. I have my running partner. Well, you know, if you're female, sometimes they can, a person can approach you with a gun and they can get both of you. So run with a group. If you can't go to an inside track, but I encourage you, if you're female especially, to go to an inside track, okay? And if you're teenagers, by all means, don't be out there by yourself. Parents, please don't let your teenage children, whether they male or female, go out and run by themselves. There's too much abductions going on, and your children are the ones, most of the time, that they're after. And if they're adults, females, of course, and some men are being taken as well. So, okay. All right. Now let's go on to the business tip. The business tip, very quickly, is in reference to the nails. We heard about the nails, and we heard about they were doing. Matter of fact, the government is trying to get those persons who are inspectors to going around to the salons, because the salons that they have that are doing the nails, they have one person who's licensed, and they got about 15 people working in there, 10 or 15 people. That is against the law, okay? And they're messing up people's fingers, so they're getting complaints. And okay, so you need to, that's why Christians, it's not supposed to be, shouldn't be any Christians out there messing with their fingers being messed over, because we're supposed to be checking with God first. That's why we do Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, okay? So if you seek him first, he'll tell you, oh, don't go to that salon, oh, no, no. I know their nails look pretty when they come out, but what they have to go through, okay? So get with God, get in his face, find out how you can keep a healthy nail bed. Because what if you decide never to wear nails again? Excuse me, you want your nails all messed up and chewed up because you went to the wrong person, and, you know, they scrub your nails, getting the nail polish off, and they shouldn't do that, and very few people tell them not to do it because they don't know that that is incorrect. And then they put all these things, they go get all these designs, they charge you all this money, and they don't have a clue about what they're doing and how they're doing it, because they haven't been trained. So if I were you, I suggest strongly that you see God's face before you go to a nail salon. They have closed down so many, and some of them are bold. When they tell them don't open, they know they're not. It's going to be hard for them to come back for a month or two. And so they'll go back and open them anyway, even though they're not supposed to be closed. So if I was you, I would call, you know, put it in prayer, say, God, you know, and he may take it, call the State Department and just see. You say, well, I'm considering going to, where can I find a list of closings of those nail salons that's been closed or have a lot of check marks against them for uncleanliness. They're not sanitized. They use the same utensils on you that they use on somebody else. Come on now. You mean to tell me you're willing to go and pay $30, $40, $50, $60, or $100 or whatever to have your nails look cute, but if you take them off, then, you know, a year or two later, you got fungus up under your nails, and then they all have to be pulled off, and then you'll have ugly nails forever. So come on. Do you want to pay now or pay later? All right. Okay. Let's get into our episode for today. And the title is, Can You Demonstrate God's Love Throughout Your Family? Walking in the love of God is expecting of all Christians. We expect all Christians to walk in the love of God. God does. He expects. It's in the Bible. He expects you to walk in love. If you continue to study how to walk in the love of God and practice walking in love daily, doors will be opened for you that can never be closed. Okay? There's some typos there, and we'll fix those later. Can you believe that? Doors can be opened for you that can nobody. Nobody can close those doors that are open for you if you walk in the love of God. We go over Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and I'm like, what are you doing with the I? What do you mean? I did this and I did that and I decided that. You shouldn't be deciding anything. God says, seek his face. What part of that don't we understand? That's why we read it twice, so you can grab a hold of it. I understand you adults, and I understand that we've been doing things by ourselves when we become adults. But now is the time to let go and let God. I mean, you've had your chance. Things haven't worked out. Your children are rebellious. You don't know what to do. Your husband is acting out. Don't you think it's time now to seek God's face and say, okay, God, what am I doing incorrectly? What do I need to change? When people get divorced, it's usually because of selfishness. They haven't sat down and said, you know, the husband thinks it's not his fault, the wife thinks it's not her fault. Can I tell you something? It takes two to tangle. There's always two sides to a story. It's a rarity that a divorce takes place and only one person calls it. In domestic violence, that's a different story. The man is beating on the woman, of course. I don't care what that woman has did. I don't care if she hit you. She could slap you. That is no reason for you to hit her. Because you know how to block it, and you know how to put your hand up and push your back so that she doesn't have to hurt you. I mean, there are things that you can do because you're stronger than she is. There are things that you can do to prevent her from hurting you. So you don't have to beat her. You don't have to do none of that. Okay? So let's make sure that we're doing that. How many of you in the last, year or two, even over the last 5 years, have read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the chapter that we look at when we talk about love. You say, well, why is that important? Well, when you learn how to love, it'll tell you how to love your children. It'll tell you how to love your husband with unconditional love. I only love you, Frank, if you would treat me right, or if you don't even know how to take me out. How you expect me to love you? No, that shouldn't come out of your mouth. What do you mean? You made a promise when you all said, I do, when you were married. Now it's time to fight for your marriage and not be throwing ugly words at one another. Okay? So even when your children make a mistake, you're not supposed to curse the child. Don't curse the child and tell them you just like your no-good daddy or you just like your no-good mama. None of that should come out of the parent's mouth. You should not be saying those kinds of things. Children always remember. They remember to the day they die when you say those kinds of statements. They should never be made. Those are not loving statements. Never, never. You shouldn't say them to your parents. I don't care. Well, you don't know what kind of parents I got. They just get on your last nerve. Well, number one, stop calling them every day. You don't have to talk to them every day. Number two, send them some cards. I'm thinking about you, da-da-da-da-da. You don't have to get on the phone unless they're sickly, and that's a different story. But then if they do say something ugly, ignore it. You can ignore it. You don't have to respond back. Some people talk too much. Every time somebody says something, they have to have a response. You don't have to have a response to everything somebody says. Try to discipline yourself to keep quiet. That's called patience. You say, yeah, but some people can make you use your last drop of patience. If you're in this word, you will never use your last drop of patience. As a Christian, we are supposed to be operating in the overflow. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't have no kind of flow, okay? You don't have a flow if you're not reading the Bible. And we're only talking about reading just a little bit. I'm not talking about, so actually, I really don't want you to get in the Bible and read 3 chapters or 4 chapters because you're not going to absorb all of that. You're not going to absorb it unless you've been reading the Bible every day. Now, I can read 10, 15, or 20 chapters a day. And I think I talked about this in one of my other segments. I challenged myself and read the Bible in 3 months. 3 months, excuse me. I will never do that again in life. Because I couldn't tell you what I read. I just did it because somebody said, well, can you do this? And I said, well, you know, let me just see if I can. And yes, I did it, but I won't do that ever in life. Now I'm going back through the Bible. I can't tell you. I read the Bible. Every time I finish it, I go back to it again, 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 again. I read the Bible a number of times in 1 year. And I'm not really that into doing that. I don't want to tell nobody to read the Bible in 1 year. If it takes you 5 years to read it, take 5 years to read it. The most important thing is to get it down on the inside. So if you just read one sentence, one scripture, and meditate on that throughout the entire day, that is what you need to do. I've talked about this on a number of my episodes on this radio program. And trying to get people to acclimate themselves into reading this Bible every day. You don't have to read a whole lot of stuff. Just read something and meditate on it throughout the day. Get it down into your heart and act on it. God, what do you want me to know about this scripture? Is there something, some truth that I missed? Show me what you want me to know in this scripture. Lord, what are you saying to me about this scripture? And follow that, those questions, and just let him answer. He'll answer them for you if you ask him. If you ask him what you should know about him, he'll show you. Okay, so chapter 13, and it'll take us more than one episode to talk about this because I'm not going to go through it, but in your time that you have, you can take a whole week to just read just a little at a time, a little at a time. This is the love. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, this is the love chapter. It says faith, hope, and love, and charity. Some books may say charity, but it's really faith, hope, and love. Charity is the same thing as love. If you believe somebody needs something or whatever, that means you love them enough to give it to them if God wants them to have it. But the greatest of these is love, okay? Faith, hope, and love, you have three we're talking about, and it says, but the greatest of these is love. Let me say it one more time. Faith, hope, and love, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the greatest of these is love. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you really don't mean that much if you can talk in tongues, but you don't have love, it means nothing. It means nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you can prophesy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. That is so important. You're nothing if you don't have love. And people say that. Huh? I never heard that. Well, those of you that haven't heard it before, please read. I started with verse 1 and I ended with verse 2. Now I'm going to go ahead and read verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So if you, in your Bible, if it says charity, it's being replaced. I'm reading it and replacing it with love, the word love. Okay, so it says, okay, I can prophesy. I'm going to the homeless shelter. I buy food, and I donate so they can get food for the poor, and they can do all this stuff. And I'm doing all these good things. You're doing all these goody-goody things, but you don't love. Or somebody did something to you and you haven't forgiven them yet. You've carried this for 10 years and it's still on you. You are nothing without love. You've got to get the love. Because I was trying to, go into the supernatural. God said, wait, you've got to feel a foundation. He said, because they're not going to understand if they try to walk in the supernatural and it doesn't work. So I got to tell you why it wouldn't work Because if you try to do this and it doesn't work, then you're going to say, ah, that stuff don't work. So you got to do the basics. We haven't, as Christians, gotten, I can sit on this for an entire year, and it wouldn't be enough. We haven't gotten Christians to understand love is most important. We have to love ourselves. We got a lot of people out there that don't even love themselves. Oh, I think, you know, I've heard, like, do you know how many people have told me, I didn't think I was worth anything. I didn't think, what? You are a born-again Christian. When you become a born-again Christian, you become an heir to the throne. If you are an heir to the throne, you are God's daughter and son. Okay? And being God's daughter and son, that means something. That means that you are somebody. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. Jesus, you're in Christ. God came, Jesus came, so we can have abundant life. I've read that on numerous occasions, John 10 and 10. But the thief's job is to make you think you're nobody. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, so you can think you're nobody, and you wouldn't ever think you're supposed to have abundant life. How can you think you have abundant life if you think you're nobody? And then you have the other side of that coin that people think, that, well, I do all these things, so that means I'm really, ooh, I'm all that. No, you're not. If you don't love, only if you're walking in the love of God are you all that. That's the only way you can get it. We're going to take our time and go through this chapter 13. We did 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to run through it and say, oh, okay, we got it all. No, because you need to hear it more than once. I was listening to something today, and I kept starting it over. I kept playing the same thing over. Because I wanted to hear it and get it down on the inside. And then, you know, I was listening. I was studying about an hour and a half. I said, okay. Then I went again. And I said, God, I got to go further. I can't stop here. I went on and did another hour. I mean, sometimes you have to do that to get it down on the ends. It's called training. Remember we talked about training. You don't train in this, it won't get to you. It's like taking an exam. If you don't study the exam, you might not do well. Chances are you won't do well if you don't study. And studying 1 hour for a major exam, for an exam that has 100 questions on it, that's almost like you might as well not even take the exam. Because chances are you won't know most of the information that's on there. Okay? Okay, Father, thank you. We thank you so much that you bring this to our attention. Walking in the love of God, demonstrating God's love with our families, with our spouses, with our children, because now is the thing to bring healing back into the family. Family values. We want that back into our family, Father. Oh, we just praise your name. We glorify you. Thank you that you're healing families. Because the love of God has left our families, and let's bring it back. We need our children back. The world is snatching at our children every which way with all of these programs and all this stuff, this violence that's going on. We need our children back. We need families sitting down, being family, and having meals together, sitting down, holding hands, saying a prayer over the meal together. When was the last time you did that? We need to start doing that. We need to go back to that again. Father, I thank you. I declare that every family that's listening, they will operate in the love of God. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you bring this subject to us so we will know what to do. We praise your name. We glorify you. We magnify you. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you that our children are not rebellious. Thank you that our children are healed. Thank you that our husbands are not acting in strife toward the wives and the wives acting in strife toward the husbands. Thank you that our families are healed. Thank you that they're sitting down at the table and praying together before they eat their food. At least one meal they should be celebrating on a daily basis, or at least once a week. At least once a week. If they're not doing it once a week, they're out of order. Thank you, Father, for bringing us back to the basic foundation of our family values. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Amen.